you, Regimen Mayu. What a beautiful song. I'll never walk alone while I walk with God. How true. Amen. For our church members here today, no doubt each of us have attended our church alumni gatherings that take place in the downstairs Grace Faust Fellowship Hall. And every year, the alumni announces topics to be present. And alumni members present their perspective on and personal stories pertinent to them. Of particular note is the topic, How I Found Divine Science. How I got here. It is during these presentations that we hear the varying stories of this or that individual regarding their journey that ultimately led them to our church and to the divine science teaching. Almost always inherent in these stories are two issues. One, the individual was seeking something, usually a sense of real purpose, knowledge, peace, and wholeness. And two, having come to embrace the teaching of divine science and the truth of their being in an omnipresent source, they are more at ease and more consciously attuned to the presence of God within and of them. Personally, I find it very revealing that when our fellows are sharing their respective stories, our heads seem to be bobbing up and down in agreement, as if we are saying, yes, that too is just the way I felt. So what was it about your lives, my life, that brought us to where we sit today and to the level of God consciousness we may be realizing at this very moment? And conversely, what is it that keeps untold other individuals from coming to realize the truth of their being in and of God, and thus reaping the negative experiences they create out here in their world? Well, I'm sure we all know by now that the answer to these questions is a sense of separation from God. The belief that in the flesh, the individual is a power unto himself, and that his human personal power comes from people, places, and things outside of himself, from ego and the things of this world, money, status, and so forth. In divine science, however, we know that our source, our creator, the Father within is our truth, and we know that all things we experience in life have their origin in thought. We create our experiences by the activity of our thinking. As metaphysical Bible students, we relate to each Bible story and the characters and places in those stories. Take the story for Jacob, for instance. And note that this is the story of every individual seeking his truth, to include each one of us here today. After wrestling with a man all night, the man idea being his personal will, and then prevailing over mental idea, his limited human understanding, Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Specifically, he had succeeded in obtaining a blessing. And God said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For thou hast striven with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And he blessed him there. And so we learned that the name Israel represents the contending for good for God. One who is striving for God, one who prevails with God, a prince with God, one having dominion with God. and rulership with and in his Father. And so it is that when you and I finally come to the realization and consciousness that we are one in and of him, a great light of understanding breaks in our mental activity. And it is through realization, through this light, through God consciousness, our struggling soul climbs and clings to the inner truth of our eternal being, lives within the kingdom, and brings it to the surface as perfect demonstrations out here in our lives. This is the significance of the blessing of Jacob and the new name Israel, one who has power with God and man, spiritual and material. And so it is that although there is nothing that can ever come close to changing our truth as individual expressions of God, we shall never experience the light of our true being in and of him until our minds, our consciousness, and our thoughts are stayed on him and not the things of this world. Until that happens, my friends, I think we all know we are all Jacobs. And we find ourselves in the dark, struggling with the mental, the emotional, with the ego, with the personality, not sure of who and what we really are. As a man whose breath is in his nostrils, the mental man with the human will, we go from day to day, finding ourselves in all too many places we would rather not be. And so, when we are like Jacob, individuals who are mentally jockeying back and forth, journeying from place to place to find satisfaction out here in the world, in this or that mental religion, with a concept of some God separate and apart from us, when we are counting the past and looking to an uncertain future, we are not on the righteous path, my friends. We are lost. No doubt we know individuals today that go from church to church, place of worship to another place of worship, from teaching to teaching, each looking for a mystical human guru, a quick earthly remedy for all of their perceived lack and ills, and protection from the things of this world which they fear. But peace and abundance and a sense of fullness are not of this world, my friends, but rather they are of the very spiritual fiber of our own being, just waiting for us to realize as much. Here and now, God is. Being lost without spiritual compasses is a confusing state of mind that each of us have experienced. And it is the product of living in a mental playground, a place where truth does not reside. It is as if we are adrift on the open ocean, lost at sea. And so it is that when we finally come to realize our spiritual essence, when we come to realize the I am of us, it is then that each of us are blessed. And just like Jacob, we become souls called Israel. A name that in its highest significance symbolizes spiritual consciousness. So let us think about it just for a moment, if we will. How did we get here today? How did you get here today, experiencing what you are experiencing, with the conscience that you have today. Well, for certain, each of us are where we are by right of consciousness. It's plain and simple. And given the degree to which we practice the presence of God, pray, meditate, attend service, sit in the stillness, or fail to do so, we shall reap that which is good and very good, or that which is unpleasant. It's up to us. It is our choice alone, as no one else can think for us, my friends, unless we give them power over us. And this is why we are reminded to call no man on earth our Father, as to do so will widen all the more the sense of separation from our true source, our only Father, who is Spirit eternal. Today, whatever it is you might be going through, at this moment, this very moment, a physical, emotional, mental, or spiritual struggle, you can be assured that it is not a result of a single passing thought, but rather the result of your own consistent pattern of thinking. That which you think upon throughout the day. Thus, we cannot think a certain way and expect to feel or demonstrate the opposite. It just can't be done, my friends. As one of our former ministers reminded us, a dog cannot have kittens, and a cat cannot have puppies. As within, so without. And so, given the simple truth of the matter, one would think that all individuals would sooner or later get to the point in their understanding where they realize that their own human experiences have been and are always in perfect harmony with the way they think and feel about life. And as noted in Old Testament scripture, we read words, "Son of man, you dwell in the midst of a rebellious house, who have eyes to see, but see not, who have ears to hear, but hear not. But hear not, for they are a rebellious house." And this rebellious house, my friends, is nothing more than a mind that is full of untruth. A mind of the Son of Man, who has yet to see the light and to realize the I am of his being. However, for those that seek within in earnest and have appropriated a growing understanding of their true being, they realize intuitively that it is the I am that is the one and only power that will ever change your lives for the better, that directs their comings and goings. So don't go wasting time out here in the world, my friends, looking for some human guru or for any mental keys to the kingdom, or thinking that material wealth or social status shall get you to the place of peace, to a sense of wholeness, because you shall be seeking in vain. For all power, all good, all knowing are already that which you are. Just four days ago, the Christian world celebrated the birth of Jesus. Leading up to this sacred day, and for a number of days after, we see and feel much more joy about us, and seeming happiness and love being shared by those around us. It's Christmas. Even strangers are joyous. Yes, the mystical holiday called Christmas seems to bring out the best in people, if only for a temporary time. And this being the case, how many times have we heard people say, or how many times have we thought to ourselves, I love this season. I wish every day could be Christmas, where peace, joy, love, rules, understanding would exist permanently. Well, my friends, it is only when the individual comes to realize in consciousness that the Christ of him is born each and every time he goes within the silence and gets out of the way, that peace on earth shall be realized. Not only on December 25th, but during the other 364 days of the year. It is then that this light of us, and each of us, and about us shall never fail us, but always lead us beside still waters. Always lead us to a sense of peace and a knowing sense of wholeness. Since God is good, all is good, on earth as it is in heaven. If today we are in a place where we feel in harmony, where we feel despair, where we feel lack, where we feel want and need, where we feel fear, then we are not practicing the presence of God. And we are headed in the wrong direction. And so it is that we are where we are today in goodness, by realization, faith, and God consciousness. Or conversely, we are in a place called Egypt, the darkness, in so-called hell, because of a lack of consciousness. If we really want to experience love, peace, harmony, and joy, if we seek a sense of fullness and satisfaction in our lives, then we shall realize and obtain such when we lose ourselves to the flesh, to ego, to material, and go within, as it is within that all of these wonderful things reside, in the house of God, in our very own consciousness. This is the only real and necessary commitment we have in life, my friends. The commitment to God, to our Father, and not to other individuals, other places, and other things. When we start realizing living in the light, regardless of where we are, we shall feel fully alive and complete in Him. As you and I go throughout our days, out here in the world of human experiences, even after leaving this church today, as we walk along the road of life, we should always be confronted by those forks in the road. It is at these times when that which we think upon shall lead us to take one road over the other. And depending upon what road we take, we shall be confronted with the results of our choice. But when we are one in God consciousness, when the Christ light is abundant and bright, we can be assured that regardless of how many forks there are in the road, or there seems to be in the road out here in the world, there is no choice for us to make, as we, the single eye, shall always lead to the path of God within. A path not of this world, that always leads to the kingdom. Then Jesus spoke to them again, and unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Divine Science teaches that the Spirit of God is an activity of consciousness, literally becomes Word made manifest, the Word made flesh. It seeks embodiment, this activity, somewhere in our environment. You can't hide it. You can't store it. It slowly begins to reveal itself as the health of your body, the peace of your mind, the harmony in your environment, or the abundance that surrounds you, because the Father already knoweth what you have need of before you ask. So, if it is wholeness and peace and health and love that you seek, don't waste your time praying for it or for the things of this world, but rather that the Spirit of God, the Father who sees all things in secret, may reveal itself in you as if to say, I am come that ye may be fulfilled. Thinking on today and how each of us got to where we are in understanding and truth, it is for certain that we are where we are through grace, first of all, through the grace of God, through meditation and prayer, through spiritual study and fellowship, and most of all, by the way of consciousness. We took heed to that still small voice within that spoke to us in the deep recesses of our hearts and souls, that said to us, be still, my beloved. Be still and know that I am God. Walk this way. And so it is that there came a time when, yes, we, you and I, were ready for the truth. We were receptive to it. And although we may have and we may continue to lose our way now and then, as we all shall, we know that this does not matter, because nothing can ever separate us from Him. What matters is that we go back within to our being, that we rejoice in the truth and the wonderful and freeing message of Scripture. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, He takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. My friends, it is by consciousness that we walk in Christ and we live in the glorious kingdom, free, happy, joyous, satisfied. And it is by consciousness that we find ourselves experiencing the grace and the gifts of God, or conversely, the era of the material world. The choice is ours. From day to day, from hour to hour, from minute to minute. Follow me. Look within. Listen to my still, small voice. Shall we make this lesson practical today and into the future? Will you join me now in our closing meditation and let this lesson into your consciousness? Please close your eyes. Become comfortable in your seats. Be still. Be still and silently give gratitude and thankfulness for the glorious and loving truth of your eternal being. Knowing that this one truth, your Father, God, is the law of all being, and all wisdom and might are His and His alone. He hath established the world by His wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by His direction. Oh, how mighty He is, how perfect, loving, giving, forever and ever. We know but one voice to heed. We acknowledge but one perfect source of all, God Almighty, the Alpha, the Omega, our eternal identity, whose omnipresent spirit speaks within our souls as the still small voice saying, "You are my beloved child, in whom I am well pleased." Keep sound wisdom, discretion, then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. His presence is our sufficiency in all things, and we walk purposefully and gratefully in His perfect will, seeking nothing, not one thing, but greater wisdom and realization of our truth as our Father's children. And so it is, Almighty God, for the awareness of Your loving presence that is here and now and forever, in all of its glory, in all of its power, O most loving Father, I give Thee thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses thee and keeps thee. The Lord shines His love upon thee and is gracious unto thee. He lifts thy consciousness and gives thee peace. Amen.